with Dan Willett. I do a lot of the conversations up here on the stage. I also write for Downbeat Magazine. I'm from New York. And I am so proud to be up here to honor Tigran Hamasyan, who is still in his 20s and has just made these amazing career moves in his life. We're going to talk about that for a little bit. And of course, we're here to honor him with one of the most prestigious prizes in Europe and in the jazz world. And that's the Paul Laquette Award. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we'll also hear a song from his new album, too. But just a little bit of background on the Paul Laquette Award. It's been given how many years now? This is the 10th year that this award has been given from the North Sea Jazz Festival. And it's just been a number of jurors all across the jazz programming world and the jazz supporting world and even journalist world. I vote on these every year too. And what it is I've got a cheat sheet here. It's for an artist who people know about, not somebody who's just kind of like coming in from the sidelines, but someone that people know about, but who also deserves a much wider recognition, a bigger audience. And that's why we're here to honor Tigran. Give him a round of applause. I'll give you some quotes from the jury. I have a couple quotes from the jury. Tigran Hamasyan has the gift to express himself in various styles and genres, whether it is solo or with an ensemble, sometimes drawing from his Armenian roots, sometimes drawing from the rich American history of jazz. He always tells magnetic stories with a brilliant sense for melody. He is one of the moving forces of his generation. And here's another quote from one of the jurors. Tigran plays tomorrow's music. And this is really important because this award is saying we need a wider recognition for people who are doing some amazingly creative work. And so Tigran plays tomorrow's music. He understands the innovative and exploring aspects that is so part of jazz in full. He masters both the acoustic piano and electronic instruments and shows a unique style in his playing. His music shows a love for his home country, as well as a profound love and knowledge of jazz masters, of which he is quite on his way to become one himself. I also have another quote, and this is from a reviewer who reviewed Early in the Going. I think it was your third album, Red Hail, right? Yeah. In 2009, which that, by the way, that track that we just played was from Red Hail, which is a great record. One reviewer said, where is it? Oh, I see. This reviewer said his latest recording, we're talking about Red Hail, with its world and ethnic fusion approach, sets him apart from the rest and establishes new standards, raising the bar very high for new music. Hamasyan plays in a league of his own, which I thought was really, really cool. One of the things that I'm really struck by with his music is how he uses the roots of his background to inform his music. Can you tell us a story about how that happened? When you discovered that, I mean, you were pretty amazing at piano at that point already, and when you recognized or understood that there was a deep wealth of music in your own background.
Well, I discovered folk music in general, including music from Armenia, when I was around 13. Thanks to the musics of guys like Jan Garbarek, Keith Jarrett, like the music of Gurdjieff as well. And I realized that there can be like improvised music, but you can use different kinds of musical vocabulary. Like you can use folk music as your musical vocabulary and improvise. I realized that improvised music is not only jazz, but jazz is a very, very high level of improvisation. So yeah, I was 13 when I discovered Armenian folk music.
And did you start putting it into your music right then, or how did that work out?
I tried, making arrangements of Armenian folk music and just transcribing and just learning what it is, because I would hear a melody and I already heard it, it's like growing up, but I never really paid attention and understood how it works. So a big journey just started, basically. That world.
And you were born in Armenia, and so you had that rich background. What was it like? Give us a kind of a bird's eye view of what it was like growing up in Armenia and hearing that music.
I don't know. It's a long, long story growing up in Armenia. I grew up in Gyumri. I was 1.5 years old when a huge earthquake happened in 1988, which basically killed at least half of the population there. One year later, basically that year, war with Azerbaijan started and the Soviet Union collapsed. So there, basically, I remember my childhood being really wonderful. Don't get me wrong, I had a great childhood. But now that I think about it, I try, my parents and the elders definitely had a tough time. So I remember candlelights and the piano in the house. My father standing in lines, with us, waking up 5 a.m., standing in lines to get a piece of bread and stuff like that. So it was a pretty interesting time to grow up in Gyumri, Armenia.
And so what drew you to the piano?
What?
What drew you to playing the piano?
I don't know. I can't say. We had piano. In Armenia, there's a really cool thing still. There's a lot of families. Music is considered something that's just usually part of people's lives. And a lot of families, non-musical families that have nothing to do with music, professionally, have a piano or some kind of musical instrument, but mostly piano at their home. So, my parents loved music, so they obviously had a piano, and my grandfather and grandmother had a piano at their place. So I just grew up next to a piano, so I picked it up. My father would play me a lot of classic rock, like Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and I would pick that up on the piano by ear.
I guess that informs why your music isn't just a straight up jazz, but it's got the Armenian folk quality to it, but it's also got rock and roll in there too.
Yeah, I grew up listening to that music.
Now tell me, your parents decided in what year did they move to Los Angeles? How old were you?
I was 16 when we moved to LA. There for 5 years.
And why did they decide to move to LA?
To give my sister and I a better education at what we wanted to. So I played jazz, so obviously that US would be a good place to go to school at university.
Tell us what happened in, 2006. You made your first record.
Right.
You were 18 years old.
2004, I made my first record. Yeah, with Ari Honig, Francois Moutin, Ben Wendell, and Ruben Hartung.
So what happened in 2006? I mean, your record was out, and you participated in some competitions.
Yeah, I was doing a bunch of competitions at that time. They started 14 years, since I was 14 years old, I was doing competitions. Yeah, there's two competitions I did that year. It was the Columbia Small Competition and the Martial Solo Competition.
And you won them both?
I won an award on both, yeah. Second place on Martial and first place.
And how old were you, 18?
19.
Yeah, so it's pretty impressive that he was opening the ears of people who were on those juries and stuff like that. So, I mean, being a Thelonious Monk competition winner is usually opens doors wide. Did that happen to you?
I think it brought me recognition in the professional circles. Yeah.
And then what was the next part of your journey?
Then I did other records, more records, touring, slowly touring, and writing music. I mean, mostly writing music and improvising.
You've got a group of people that have been playing with you pretty consistently over the years too. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. Since 2008, I have created a band that put together a group of people that that would be able to play the music that I was writing. That is for the record called Ray Dale. Because it had a lot of rock influence, sounds and metal influence, and also I needed a singer that knew, was Armenian and knew all the Armenian repertoire, but also could improvise. So it was like a tough personnel to, like a project to overcome. But I found them. I found a great band, and we toured a lot for a long time until this year, basically. Some of the group members changed, but for example, Sam is, we're gonna play tonight with
Sam.
He's Sam Minai. He's the bass player in my band since 2008. And also Arnia Babian is, she's not singing tonight, but we did tours this year. It's a really important group of people that I started collaborating with.
Yeah, you've done, since Red Hail, you did a solo album, A Fable, right? And then you did Shadow Theater, which was in 2013, which was kind of focusing on, almost exclusively on, well, not exclusively, but a lot of Armenian-based music on that. Now tell us about, is it Mukru? The new album?
Right, yeah.
Mukru.
Yes. Okay.
Tell us about that, because we're going to hear a song in a minute, but tell us about how that kind of came into being.
I wanted to do a trio album, so I had a bunch of compositions already written for the trio, but also, I don't know, this album is a little more personal compared to the other albums, but the songs from this album have basically stories from my life. There's a song called, for example, Lilac, that's a memory from my childhood house in Gymri. There's a song that's dedicated to my grandparents. This is more like a personal story, but it's got a lot of, I guess, rock influence. It's got solo piano songs in it as well, few songs. But mostly it's a trio album, I would say.
I'm gonna play an excerpt from Cars 1. Tell us about that so that we can have a little bit of a feel for it.
Cars is a town where all my ancestors ancestry comes from, my mother's and father's side. It's just literally like 40 kilometers from the town where I was born, but in the other side, it's in Turkey. And basically, my father's grandparents both ended up in an orphanage in Gyumri, and that's how they met. And this song, this folk song that I found, which is from Kars, from around Kars region, is sort of, for me, it's representing that story. It's a love story and a story of loss.
Okay, great. Let's listen to it. Kars 1. There's a scratch on the record there, doesn't it? Tell us about that.
I wanted to incorporate electronic elements like glitching sounds with this song. I feel like this song is it's a song needed that. It's like an Armenian folk. Minimal electronic dubstep meets heavy metal. It's, but to me, it's like they all have something in common together. That's why it's just naturally that everything came. And,
And you've been singing. You sing a lot in your shows.
Yeah, I've been singing.
Tell us about that. Was that just something?
I grew up singing, actually. Before I actually got into piano and started a piano career, when I was a kid, I used to sing with big bands and singing covers. I always sing when I play. I used to sing a lot, and so it's just naturally part of me. Obviously, when I had my when my voice changed when I was a teenager, I sort of completely stopped. But then I realized that certain songs need that. I mean, need voice, you know, need lyrics. So I started practicing and trying to sing again.
By the way, I just want to alert you all to the fact that Tigran is going to be playing tonight at... Oh, I don't have it here.
9:30.
Nine thirty in Madeira. So it's really it's well worth going to see him perform. This Muckroot album is being released by Nonesuch Records, which is a real boutique label in the U.S. You tell me that you have a contract to do more. He's got more up his sleeve.
Yes.
But you don't want to tell us about it.
Yeah, it's 3-4 records for the moment, but we'll see. Maybe more.
Well, Nonesuch, before that was Universal France. Before that, a couple of labels in France. I want to invite up Mr. Jean-Jacques Laurent, who is the general director of Fondation BNP Paris-Bas. And tell us about what that organization is and how it relates to Tigran.
Well, in fact, the BNP Paribas Foundation has been supporting musicians for years, exactly for 20 years now. It's kind of an anniversary. And so we are supporting the musicians for years, and we're supporting them to forge their careers. And like you said, in 2006, we just discovered Tigran because, in fact, we were also supporting at the time the Martial Solal competition. Which is now finished. It's a pity because we would still support it if it continued. So, and it's where we met Tigran. He was awarded, as you say, the second prize of this competition. For us, it was the first time we were supporting that competition, and he had the BNP Paribas Foundation prize, which was the second one. The first one was the Ville de Paris. But anyway, we don't care about the first or the second range, or it doesn't mean anything, as you know, in many competitions. But the thing is that we were very impressed by him, not only because we assisted to the musical competition, but.
What impressed you about Tigran?
I mean, just his style is not only the fact he was young, of course, it is impressive, but the fact he was very mature, the music was just incredible. So, but it was just one time. Again, he had the award, and then some time passed. I remember I was really curious about him, so with a friend of mine who is in the room today, we decided to listen to him to the jazz festival in Paris, which is in the Parc Floral, and he was playing there, and I was really impressed again. So we said to myself and to my colleagues in the foundation, this guy, we should do something for him. We have to meet him, we have to take time, and it's what happened. So we just met and decided to support him.
How, in what way did you support him?
With money, of course, because I mean, there is no corporate philanthropy without money. I mean, if you want to help artists like we do, not only musicians but also choreographers or other artists, you need to give them money to forge their careers because they have different needs. In fact, it's so we just talk together and we try to see what they expect from us and what they expect to do with this money. And of course, they have. Every year they must, but I mean we are very close relationships, a very confident relationship, so yeah, we know where the money is spent for, what it is spent for, but everyone uses it his way.
Tigran, what was that? Was that a surprise to you that they wanted to support you?
Yes, but a good one.
Good.
Good surprise. All right.
And when they decided to support you, what did you start thinking? I mean, obviously, money is a big part of it. It gives you the freedom to be able to.
Well, this was right in the beginning of when I just started making my first gigs. I really started to do small tours, and this was a really good opportunity for me to go play places, organize tours, also a couple of times I made records, even more than a couple of times. I made records that was completely financed by the support I got. So it was great, otherwise, it was really hard. It's obviously, everybody knows how hard it is to, start a career in the jazz world, the jazz labels. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, it sure is.
It is a difficult economy for musicians. So, of course, our help is something they can need, and they do it well with the money. But it's not only a question of money, it's also a question of relationship and what the way we think about the corporate philanthropy, because we not only give money, we see each other very quite often. We think of what we could do together. We have a big network at the bank. We are present in 75 countries. And of course, obviously, Tigran has been moving, doing concerts here and there. We've been together preparing concerts in Bulgaria or in other cities, and we try to share with the people, with the staff, with the customers, our discoveries too. So we invite a lot of people in concerts in France, but yet elsewhere too. But it's a way to be together. We really share.
You guys aren't working together now, though, right? You've let him fly away.
Oh yeah, he can fly. I'm sure he can fly. Just see. we are very proud of him, because it's always a bet when you when you support an artist, and it's good pride, really.
Does anybody have any questions? We just skimmed the surface here of Tigran's life and his professionalism. Does anybody have any questions to ask him? There's a question. Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. But the question was, will you play Led Zeppelin?
Like in the video.
Yeah.
Like in the film.
What?
Yeah, I used to play it when I was 4. You're a little bit late. Yeah, but we're gonna play some. There's a lot of rock influence in this new album, so if you wanted to hear rock, you're gonna hear rock. The jazz scene in Armenia.
Okay, the question is, what's the jazz scene in Armenia like?
Well, it's been an interesting scene since, the Soviet Union time. We had a really famous big band with two different big bands. There's really cool small bands, smaller ensembles and bands that popped out through the 70s and 80s. The jazz scene right now is, I would say there's few musicians. I mean, it's a small country, but there's few musicians, there's few very good musicians. But it's not like in New York, where you just have a lot of, or Paris, or any of the cities in Europe where you have a lot of a community. It's very small, the jazz community. But there is support. The president before this president was a huge fan of jazz. So there was a couple international festivals that happened. There was a lot of jazz concerts going on at that time, and people sort of started checking out. People that didn't know what jazz was started checking out jazz. But obviously, it's still an elite sort of music.
Do you play there much in Armenia?
I do. Yeah, I started playing a lot the past 3 years. 2011, I would say.
So 2 years ago, you moved back to Armenia.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I felt like...
Because you were living in L.A., but then you were living in New York for a little bit.
Yes.
And then in Paris for a little bit. It seemed like you were moving around.
Yeah, I've been basically not living anywhere since 2009. But the past 2 years, I decided that I'm going to move to Armenia. I had some personal reasons to go there. But I felt like I needed to reconnect with my origins and sort of recharge and get inspired. Plus, my grandmother was a mom, so I wanted to be next to her. And also work. I have an exclusive project with ECN that's going to come out in a month and a half. It's choir Armenian religious music from 5th to 20th centuries that I arranged for chamber choir and piano. So if I didn't move to Armenia, I wouldn't be able to work 6 months with a choir and do a project like that. So this moving and it gave me ideas and also helped me in a way.
Can I also add a personal note?
Sure.
Yeah, in 2 weeks he's getting married.
Right. Also, I met my wife.
He met his wife going back to
personal reasons.
But his parents are still in LA, just living the life, right?
Yeah. I mean, they like it there. I guess it's for me. It's easier for them. I mean, for example, my father didn't want to hear about anything about moving back because he had a tough, much tougher life than I did.
Any other questions for Tigran? Yeah, Benno.
How big influence was the Russian rock music that you played at that?
The question is, how big an influence was Russian rock on him?
Not really. Yeah, my father listened to some, Soviet time rock bands, but I wasn't influenced much. Yeah, he didn't play me any rock bands anyway. I don't know why. Yeah. Yeah, there's some cool bands. I know that there's some cool bands. There's some cool bands now too.
You have a question or are you telling me?
I was more influenced by the Russian classical music. I mean, Prokofiev, Shostakovich, they mean the world to me. Who? I've heard Russian folk music, but I don't know.
Nothing like Armenian folk music, right?
There's a lot of folk music. That's amazing as well.
But you seem to, when we were in Bulgaria, to know quite a bit of Bulgarian folk music.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, I used to love Bulgarian music. I still love Bulgarian music. I went there for a month to just study and meet some folk musicians from there. I arranged all this music that I was going to do an album of, and then I lost my computer.
The entire
thing was lost, so I only remember a couple songs.
No.
So that project kind of fell apart.
No.
But I love many kinds. I love Scandinavian folk music, I love African folk music, Indian folk music and classical music, Persian music.
Just one last question before we have the drum roll. Are there any other questions here? Okay, talk to me more about BNP, because you've really helped him. Who else have you worked with to be a supporter of?
Well, we are supporting other musicians. For instance, Thomas Enko was playing here yesterday. We have been supporting him for 3 years, and we are going to renew the support for the next 3 years. This is just new, and we have decided to support two ladies. One name is Erel Besson. She's playing trumpet. She's a beautiful trumpet player. And the other one is playing drums, and her name is Anne Passeo. So you see, we continue to support new musicians and ladies, not only singers, but also ladies who play music. And we were very happy also to give the award to Anat Cohen 2 years ago, who is a great musician also. So we just like also the ladies. But no, the foundation has been existing for 30 years, so we are mainly supporting arts, supporting solidarity and science, climate change science research, and that's all we do. And trying to make the world a little better. It's a big bank, and it's part of our civic responsibility, I would say, to be a corporate philanthropist too.
Sounds good. Okay, we now come to the drum roll. 4:04, which is when our session ends. And we have with us the esteemed director of the North Sea Jazz Festival, Jan Willem Logan. And he's coming up to present. See, I told you there was going to be a statue. Do you have anything to say?
Can I first give you this new one?
Let's get the microphone. Speak into the microphone.
Sir. Thank you very much.
Dear Tigran, with this award we honor our godfather and founder, Mr. Paul Enkett, the founder of this beautiful festival. But of course, foremost of all, we honor you with your beautiful music, together with BNP Foundation. And we hope to enjoy your music tonight, and we hope to enjoy your music for many, many years.
Awesome.
Here you go, sir.
The last thing I have to say is what this music, jazz music, any kind of music, is all about is being an original. And the people who are originals rise to the top. And I've got to say, you know, I've listened to a lot of music over the years, and you are an original. There's no one like you. There's no one that's doing the kind of the creative things that you're doing. So. You know, you're just creeping up on 28. You've got a really, really rich future ahead of you, and this award from the North Sea Jazz Festival signifies that. Any parting words?
Check out more jazz, guys. That's great.
Thank you very much for coming. Again, I'm Dan Ouellette. I do conversations here with my last one for the weekend. And there couldn't be a better last one.
We left the door. Yeah. Okay.
And.
Oh, yeah. Want to drink? Can you drink and play it tonight?
I'm going to have it symbolically. So I don't
change
the water. Cheers.
Yeah. Marion, tu veux bien?
I'm so proud of you, Lucien.
Cheers. One more kilograms in your luggage. More level weights than there.
I bought a bag today. I bought a bag.
Yes?
Look at that.
There you go.
It will. Look at that. Solid gold. I can't believe it.
Solid gold, absolutely. And it's solid rock.
Yeah, I'm solid rock.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
It's good to see you.
Tigra.
Leon. Congratulations, man.
Is Frank?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he
makes up. Yeah, the whole crew here.
Yeah,
Sandra, where's your champagne?
Michelle's drinking it.
I've stolen it from my teacher.
Frank, cheers. Can I introduce you to Jos Arquette, the wife of the late Moon, I guess?
Ah,
the name giver of the award. Cheers.
How
are you?
Good.
Hello. How are you good?
Well,
now all you have to do is... Well, I thought somebody was going to go get you some sushi.
I need to eat. Yeah, I've been traveling all day.
Where'd you come from?
Nice. Not even born.
It's like trying to blindfold us. I don't know the ballot.
Congratulations.
I thought it was nice, so I really enjoyed your work fast. Also, sometimes a bit of maybe that's what you like.
A bit of what?
A bit over the top with all the electronics.
Right, right, yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's this, I'm trying to find the balance between
that.
Yeah,
that you in America,
I will buy you
some. Yeah. But it was a huge gap between artistic value.
Is it a different tone than in Eindhoven?
It's going to be the music from this album.
There was this gap between jazz and
so I can buy this downstairs.
Yeah.